Hey, is this thing on? Oh, hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, hey, remember us? That podcast that kind of just fell off the face of the earth for like 4 months? we had some good things going for us, and then we kind of just fell apart. And we're back. Hey, I got Skylar and Mike here with me.
Hello.
And you all know us. Trust the process.
But is that the name right now?
Hey, man, they never got the copyright for it, so yes.
Trust the process for now.
Okay, yeah, with the time lapse from us being apart, might as well go ahead think of a rebrand soon, but trust the process is it right now.
Man, we just got like a whole new logo made and stuff that we haven't even debuted yet.
Oh, that's true.
Dude, we really want to rebrand? Oh, man. Well, we'll see. We'll see if Joel Embiid and all them could get that approved. But,
Let's text Joel real quick.
Yeah. What's going on, everyone? Thanks for joining us for this episode. Episode 10. It's amazing that we've only just now made it to episode 10. And we're just going to go ahead and just start off like saying sorry. We've been gone for a long time.
long time is... It's almost as bad as last year.
For myself, I apologize. I've gone through a lot lately. Personally, I've found some clarity, though. I'm in my new apartment now. Things are moving in an upward direction for me. As for the other two, I don't know. I can't speak for you guys. Mike, Skylar, what's your reasoning why we've been so long?
Well, pretty busy at work. Got two jobs now, so working at Coastal and then Blue Sky Golf Course. I mean, keeps me busy.
You work at Blue Sky?
Yeah.
That's right down the road from my parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with me, what's new is also have two jobs, Florida Blue still, and real estate. So if anyone's looking to buy or sell a home or even wanting to rent a place, let me know, and I'll definitely hook you up. So just reach out to me, and I'll help you either find a home of your dreams, sell your place, or look for a place to live.
Plug your Facebook.
Oh, yeah, and you can like me on Facebook on, my name, Mike Yazji, 904 Realty LLC. That's my business page, so go ahead there. And I'm trying to get a website up for that later. Hopefully, since it's already late November, hopefully by the end of this year.
Yeah, by the new year. Ring in the new year strong
with a new website. Yep.
Via Wix or what?
I don't even know.
Wix is a good one. I'll plug Wix for no reason. Well, from there, yeah, we're just going to go ahead and jump right into the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I know
Duval. No, they don't deserve that. They don't deserve Duval at all.
I know Mike and Skylar have some
trust
choice
the process.
Words. Mike has
not
a few,
with them.
Mike has a few more choice words than I think Skylar does. But Mike, go ahead. You've got the floor here. Go ahead and just lay it on me. We want
to
hear what.
I'm about to unload. You are right.
Oh, he's got paragraphs.
He's got a book.
He's
here.
Got receipts.
All right. So, what was the number one issue going into this year?
Running back depth, that's your number one issue. Linebacker.
Linebacker's fair. Running back depth's your number one issue going into 2018.
Well, hey, let's look at that in perspective. And when Leonard Fournette, our team crumbled. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against that, too. With Corey Grant went out right in the Chiefs game. We lost the Chiefs game because we went away from the run game.
No, we lost the Chiefs game because Blake Bortles keeps throwing turnover. Oh, what was it?
Listen,
four turnovers in the red zone?
Running backs eliminate the turnovers from Blake.
I don't care. We had four trips in the red zone. Three were turnovers. One bounced off a lineman's head.
Yes.
And landed in the defender's hands.
And what would we have done if Fournette was there?
Probably the same thing.
Oh, he would have ran it in. We would have won that game.
I hate you guys.
No.
Okay, so
but no, be honest. What's the number one issue going in 2018?
Okay, a lot of people would
Keith
say
got it. No, okay, go ahead. What would you say?
Well, it probably was. A lot of that was just...
Not Lamborghini.
Yeah, I mean, people, they had a lot of faith on Blake, you could tell. And we knew that going into the season. A lot of us wanted us... Like, I mean, I even wanted Lamar Jackson in the draft. Regardless, okay. I still believe Blake can progress, but I wanted that backup to compete.
This is talking about 2018, like going into 2018, right? Not
yes,
now. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, Lamar's not available now.
No, I'm
so.
Saying you're saying Blake progressing. That's all.
Yeah, well,
bouncing off
at
of.
The start of the season, yeah, because of the progression of last year. So the faith was that he was going to progress behind a healthy offensive line with a healthy running back core. And the defense playing as solid as last year.
Okay. So you're saying continuing off last year. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
This should have never happened. They should have drafted a quarterback in 2017 when that class was strong. You had Watson. I wanted Deshaun Watson at number 4 overall pick. I'm sorry. I love the 4-9 pick, whatever, where we are now. But you draft Watson, you get your quarterback, you get rid of Bortles. Because going into 2017, there was no real – I didn't see any progression from Blake after 2014, 15, 16.
Well, yeah.
3 years.
That was because Gus Bradley's game plan was just slinging.
I don't give a crap about Gus Bradley.
Too many
Gus-
offensive coordinators?
Oh, he's going to get fired.
I'm just saying that's – part of his regression. Gus Bradley was such a horrible
developer. Gus Bradley, the thing is, Gus Bradley developed defense. Okay, he should have also, he messed up by not hiring a good offensive coordinator for Blake. Yeah. I get that. But after 3 years, there's not one sign of progression for Blake.
And I understand that too, but it was that last year where, you know, he did what they asked him to. This year, you know, he was asked to try to win games because of that. And he's not that type of quarterback, which, I mean, They kind of knew that, too, at the same time. So I get what you're saying. A lot of it, you know, he's not built to lead this team on his own.
But that's the thing, right? That I'm holding it right there. Look at the past quarterbacks in the past 10 years.
Mm.
All of them can lead the team by their own. Granted, one player right now, Rodgers can't. That's because of terrible coaching, Aaron Rodgers. But thing is, go back to 2017. At the time, a number 4 pick. I was heated when we took Fournette. I understood the pick.
I was upset too. I called
him. I have video of me being pretty upset. Video. People know, like John. Everyone who knows me, they saw me screaming. I was pissed. John. Well, there's 4 Johns that I know, but anyway,
John Jacob, Jingle,
one of them, and even, some people have video of me screaming. Like I was heated when we took Fournette because I wanted Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson goes.
I was worried about his injury. Past too, like
Deshaun was never hurt.
No, Fournette.
Oh no, Fournette. That's why
I wanted Cook.
I'll say Fournette.
Well,
Dalvin also had injuries. Yeah, he had that different, but his injury last year never happened before.
He wasn't out as much as Fournette in college.
That is true. But the thing is, what I wanted to get Watson at 4. Get us a quarterback, a mobile quarterback, a future who can launch deep. That's what he can do, and he's proven that so far in a year and a half of playing. Well, hopefully finishes this year. Then I wanted Dalvin Cook in the second round. Granted, Dalvin Cook is hurt. Last year, after 4 games in, he's slow start this year, but he looks to get back on track. The thing is, you draft a quarterback at the 4 pick, then you draft a running back. These are names of running backs that went after Fournette.
Oh, well.
No, just listen. Just listen.
We'll listen, well, yeah.
McCaffrey, we couldn't have taken him. He's first-round pick. Let's see. Second round. Here comes Dalvin Cook. Joe Mixon. Let's see.
I would have stayed away from Mixon just
because of the off-field issues, that's fine. Third round, Alvin Kamara. He was one pick away from us, granted, but we took DeJuan Smith instead. Cooper Kupp fell out, whatever, that's later on.
Do you think Kamara would have done as well in our system as he's doing now?
Well, I don't know. That's the thing, but we would have had a quarterback to throw the ball.
That's good. You know.
We would have had a quarterback. If we went Watson, could you think Watson and Kamara could go well?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what about speed? What about Watson and Kareem Hunt, who also went in the third round?
Yeah,
Kareem.
Deontay Foreman, granted, he's hurt towards Achilles. Let's see who else. Samaje Perine, another running back, not great. James Conner, third round pick. Granted, his system with Pittsburgh is different, but still another running back. Tariq Cohen went in the third round. I'm sorry, fourth round of 2017. These are all running backs that had success this past year. Marlon Mack, this year right now with the Colts, has done pretty well. Let's see.
And then you can also go into this, though, looking at how bad the NFL is at not only judging quarterbacks, they are super bad at judging running backs, too, because they let these great running backs slide, and then they draft these mediocre quarterbacks.
That's because the running back position has been devalued over the last 10 years.
Really?
Here's another 2 running backs. Green Bay Packers, probably starting running back for next at least 2 years. Aaron Jones.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Elijah McGuire, Jets running back, who's in a split committee right now with Bilal Powell. I'm sorry, not Bilal Powell, Isaiah Crowell. No, am I right? It is Crowell, yeah.
Basically, you're going through a lot of running backs that have proven that they are
able to
do good things.
Oh, and also, seventh round pick, Chris Carson. Granted, these are running backs who are not stars, minus 2 or 3 of them, but could have been a better pick than taking Fournette in the first round and then not helping the team at all last year. Another thing is, any defense so far the last 5 years has known how to attack the Jags. Load up the box. Load up 8-9 in the box because they don't trust Blake Bortles to beat them.
And they made it known that they want to be run first.
Yeah, they made it known from Caldwell, Coughlin. When Coughlin came in beginning of last year, run first. Got it. Okay. They have not addressed the offense in the draft since 2014. When they drafted Blake, when they drafted Allen Robinson, when they signed Allen Hurns undrafted, they drafted Marquise Lee, drafted Brandon Linder, drafted Denard Robinson. Granted, Denard Robinson was trash here, but still, they addressed the offense. That's the problem. Caldwell also had his chance to draft a second quarterback. Missed out on Watson. Okay. Draft one this year. You missed your chance. You take Taven Bryan instead of Lamar Jackson.
Sheesh.
Or even you had the capital to trade up a little bit higher. Maybe you could have, I don't know, or traded Fowler. Yeah. Traded Fowler for Bridgewater at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and
granted, that's maybe the front office decision. Okay, I get that. Luckily for us, Teddy Bridgewater could be a free agent next year or this offseason. We probably won't sign him, though. Because of those two, three bad decisions by Caldwell and behind the terrible draft history minus the 2016 class, he's probably out of a job. Both of them, Caldwell and Coughlin, messed this draft up this year. Why address future needs on defense when you have current needs right now on offense?
Yeah.
You needed an offensive line. You needed a quarterback. You needed to get a tight end. They signed Austin Seferian Jenkins. Okay, that's fine. He was hurt. I'm not blaming him. He was solid for us.
So is the problem depth here?
It's everything, which I'm getting to. Them not addressing the current weaknesses of the team is a problem.
Yeah.
They went into this year.
They were stubborn.
Their receivers are Marquise. Exactly. They're stubborn. They went into this year with Marquise Lee, Dante Moncrief, DJ Chark, DD Westbrook, and who am I missing? Keelan Cole. Those five,
man.
I'm sorry, they're all fine. They're all making millions of dollars, minus Cole and Chark, whatever. They're all making less, whatever. They're making some money. None of them are receiver ones, in my opinion. They're all receiver twos or threes at best.
I think Chark can develop into that, but yeah.
But what's Chark doing right now? What's Chark doing mainly doing right now?
Special teams.
Thank you, and that's not what you want from your number one receiver.
And that's the error in not signing Hurns either, and I get or not Hurns, but Robinson.
Well, the thing is, I understand. Okay, would you rather sign Allen Robinson for $4 million more a year than signing Moncrief for $10 million? I would rather take the cap hit. Sign Robinson. Give Bortles a reliable player.
Yeah.
Also, when we lost Marquise Lee, how do you not go after someone to get as a red zone target and another target for Blake? Mm-hmm. Blake loved Marquise Lee, and now it's obvious right now. Also, getting Hyde at the trade deadline was dumb. When Fournette came back in 3-4 weeks after we got Hyde, Hyde has done nothing since Fournette came back.
And that's even Hyde said he's mad with them. For whatever reason, they don't want to change things up to make it to where they can execute. You know, I don't know why. I don't, like, we know Blake
it's
can't.
On Coughlin.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Now I kind of want the Jags. I mean, I'm going to be one of those people. I want to see them go 3-13. I want this team to literally go from the highest peak to their climax and just completely crumble. Because that is – how do you go from a 10-6 team, 6 minutes away from an AFC championship game – one inadvertent whistle. I don't care what Tom Coughlin said. You cannot go off based off last year. You have to rebuild. You have to adjust to your team's weakness from 2017, which their obvious weakness was the quarterback.
You gotta finish.
They had to finish. They had a chance to finish against the Patriots and they didn't in the 2017 AFC Championship game. And then they didn't adjust the biggest weakness, which is quarterback, and then offensive line. None of that got addressed. Granted, Norwell was a good signing, okay, but now he's out for the year. We lost Cam Robinson after the Patriots game. We lost Norwell.
We lost Linder.
We lost Marquise Lee. We lost Fournette for seven games, I'd say. About seven games.
Lost Corey Grant.
Blake got benched after the Texans game. After that game, he should have been benched for good. I don't care what anyone says. If they bench him once, now it looks bad because we had a shot at the playoffs. We lost the Texans game. We're 3-4. Going to London to play Philadelphia. If Kessler was there, it could have been a difference. That could have changed the season. But now you do it at 3-8. Now we're out of the playoffs. We're competing for a number one pick, possibly, because we are only one game behind the number one pick. I think we're picking sixth or seventh right now.
Yeah.
That looks bad. And the fact that Coughlin is stubborn, same with Caldwell. Caldwell's probably out of a job after this year. Coughlin, I think, should be on the hot seat because he's the one who built this team. They drafted for the future on defense when they failed to realize the offensive weaknesses. I think that's inexcusable. Caldwell screwed up with his draft history. Coughlin's coming in and repeating the same thing, addressing defense. I swear, if they keep everyone next year, including Marone, Coughlin, and Caldwell, even down to the damn water boy, if they don't address offense in the first round, this team is going nowhere again. And then we're wasting our defense's prime years. they're allowing 26.7 or something like that points a game in this 7-game losing streak. No team can win when your defense is allowing 27 points a game. Unless your team is the Chiefs or the Rams or the Saints. That's it. No team can compete with that. Yeah, not at all.
Our offense is nowhere near good enough to sustain
that. They can't even score 18 points a game, let alone 27.
Yeah.
And another thing is, Marrone, good thing for letting go of Hackett, but it's a little too late for that. Benching Bortles is a little late for that. Let go of Wash. After the Chiefs and Cowboys game, you should have let go of Wash after those 40-point outburst. I'm just over it. They're too stubborn. They think something's going to change. Wash is not going to change the strategy of the zone defense.
They can't play zone defense.
And that's the problem.
Like, and they have so many.
This isn't college basketball.
You have the best corner in the league on one side.
Play man.
I'd say top 10 because Boya hasn't really played well this year. Two safeties who should probably be cut after that. Well, I say one definitely is going to cut, and that's Barry Church. Telvin Smith's playing like garbage this year. No one's getting pressure on the offensive line. Defensive line. Something's got to change. You fire Wash, get some motivation going in this defensive line. Defense. And hold people accountable, because once they see the offensive coordinator is gone, their starting quarterback and captain is benched on the offense. Maybe now, against the Colts on Sunday, maybe they change their ways, but I don't expect them to win against the Colts. I think they're going to lose 12 straight games and end the year 3-13 at this rate. I don't know how you can go from 10-6 from 4 minutes from the AFC Championship game.
We were like number two in the power rankings. Like,
we were number, exactly, after the Patriots game, we went up to number two, or some people put us at number one. And I can't get over the. How do you go from 10-6 to an AFC Championship game to 6 minutes from a Super Bowl to now 3-8, possibly losing the last five games to end on a 12-game losing streak? There needs to be some accountability.
It's like Browns.
And the Browns right now have more wins than the Jaguars.
Everything that could go wrong did. Like you said, the whole offensive line's injured. We got down to like our fourth, fifth string tight end off the practice squad. We had none of our same running backs except for Yeldon. And
by the way, we need to bring Yeldon back after this year. He's playing lights out for us, even when he comes in short term, but he's been playing really well for us.
But yeah, I mean, it's hard to play, like, when the offense is so bad, he's really the only playmaker on there, on the offense. Like, and even the receivers, when the ball's actually thrown accurately, they drop it. It's everything. Like, it's a microcosm.
Yes, but also Blake.
That just blew up.
We lose to the frickin' Bills.
Yeah.
Bills. Josh Allen did not look that great.
We were getting in control of that game before that fight.
I mean, I don't understand it. We're also in control of the Steelers game. Another thing I'm mad about. How does a defense blow a 16-0 lead with 6 minutes to go? Another thing, just going back to the AFC Championship game. Conservative play calling on offense. And Jags are not, I guess, non-elite defense. Because, like our friend Eric said, I talked to him the other day at work. An elite defense does not give up that lead with 6 minutes to go twice. And they're not elite. And Eric actually put that to my mind. I was like, that's actually a good point. They are not elite. They're good. They're not elite. They're not going to be a legendary defense that people are going to remember 10 years from now. We remember the 85 Bears. Remember the 2000 Ravens. Remember the 12 Ravens. Remember the who was another defense? The Seahawks, when they won against Peyton Manning. Yeah. We remember those defenses. No one's going to remember the Jags defense in 10 years.
They would have
if we won Super Bowl, maybe, but not this year. No one's gonna remember the Final Four.
But
no
one's gonna remember AFC Championship. Once they address these issues on offense, you know, it's gonna go back to what it was that year, because, you know, you address the quarterback that can get it to his receivers and his playmakers, get some playmakers that can make some plays out of nothing, and then you start to see points go up, and the other offense is where they try to catch up. Mm-hmm. That is where the defense thrives. Mm-hmm. So It's a team sport. That's why it is what it is.
Yeah, and you know, those the classic, you know, when the defense is on the field half the game because the offense goes three and out so many times, it gets frustrating. And you know, there
and
should
that's
be no
why I understand why the defense, specifically Jalen Ramsey, is upset. But there comes a point, Jalen, shut your mouth, man. I love you, but just stop talking.
Well, going back to the Bills game, what is your thoughts on Leonard Fournette's actions?
He's a moron for coming off the bench. He should know better than that.
It's insane to think about that.
Yeah, he wasn't even on the play. Yeah. Why come off the sideline? Let them figure it out. Well,
can someone explain to me why that guy was so upset for the Bills?
I don't know.
I was confused that whole time. I'm like, you why is that freaking out?
And the whole time, Moncrief and I don't know the other DBs, the DB's name, were hugging for that ball. Literally, you know, like I literally heard on a podcast. You know the game where you put your hand on a car? If you leave your hand off the car, that was exactly like that. Like they did not want to leave that car.
Ty goes to the receiver in that.
It didn't, clearly. And also, how do you go from first single? No, it didn't.
The receiver, it was a catch.
Yeah, it was a catch.
I thought they called it a touchdown.
Well, they called
it wasn't a touchdown.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
He caught it and he fell into the end zone, but he was clearly down at like the
one. Another thing, how do you go from first and goal on the one?
Oh, yeah.
To fourth and goal on the 30.
I got a point about
and missed
that
a field goal. And then leads to a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So or whatever happened after that point.
Also, going back to Fournette's actions about coming off the bench and running over there, this team has no discipline. Like, you can tell. Like, that's why Jalen runs his mouth. That's why. Like, they told him, you know, just be you. Just do. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, these guys are too young to understand how to handle that sometimes. And so that causes the penalties. And we saw it so often, like this year and last, where penalties caused this game. Like Malik Jackson's headbutt in the 49ers game last year lost us the game against the 49ers.
Yeah, but, and then you get rid of Dante, and you're thinking, like, oh, that's one immature person. We can get rid of them. And
God, I really hope this defense, no more words, I'm done. I really hope we go 3-13. And if anyone wants to buy Jags tickets, I got the one on Sunday for sale in the Redskins game. So,
Washington football team.
Oh, sorry, yeah, Washington football team.
Words.
Well, yeah, if anyone wants, hit me up for that.
It's a good transition there, Skyler, you're talking about penalties. Mike, while you're already in this great mood, this has been the Mike Yadashi Show today. Thank you all for listening. Let's talk about the most penalized team in college football this year, the Florida State Seminoles.
That's also a lack of discipline.
So Skyler, obviously, is the happy one of the group since his team's going to be going bowling. And he beat their in-state rival and
for the first time in 5 years.
Really crappy this year. So
trust me, I hear it all the time at work. So
it's good. Yeah, Mike, you've been kind of abused at work. I've been noticing on Snapchat.
Snapchat, but it's all in good fun.
Were you talking a lot of trash before?
No, we just made a bet before the game. Right, a little side bet. Loser has to deal with whatever the winner gets.
So what's your thoughts on Taggart as coach?
Give him time. People need to relax. No one can build a decent team in 1 year.
Dan Mullen did.
Dan Mullen had... No, no.
No one.
Good coaching did that. We have no talent.
So are you saying Taggart's a bad coach with a lot of...
We have no talent.
Four stars.
Okay, the five star when it goes out the window. Once you go to college, that goes out the window. I don't care. It depends on how
the most pressured quarterback in college football this season.
Yeah, we're down to our fourth
just
and
as bad as
just bad. Just bad offensive line. Our starting center can't even do a normal snap. He always oversells Francois. Another thing.
Isn't he like 6'5"?
Yeah, he's a senior, which is sad.
No, Francois.
No, I know, but the center's a senior.
Okay.
Which is really sad.
Yeah.
And Francois, I don't like Francois. I'm glad he's probably going to be transferring after this year.
Yeah, he doesn't fit the system.
Nope. Another thing, Tamarion Terry is going to be a stud for the next 2 years.
For sure.
Cam Akers finally got going last two games. Big deal.
Yes.
But
it's something.
Linebacker depth kind of killed us. We only had one good player. Secondary can't stay healthy. They can't cover anyone.
Are you worried about the Gators at all? Or...
I mean, yeah, I'm worried because they finally won. They're looking good. They're looking a good team.
And then they got Jumpman on their uniforms.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't
know. Kodak Black on their sidelines.
I don't give a crap about Kodak Black.
Is that
he looked like a Make-A-Wish fan.
I saw a tweet about that. It looked like a Make-A-Wish. It was so bad.
I laughed, but I felt bad. But at the same time.
But give Taggart. I mean, I think it cut the rebuild. It cut his chance by a year. I think after year three, if it's not good, they're going to have to pull the plug. But
I think when you try to flip a system entirely,
in 1 year, it's not gonna work. And that's the thing. Jimbo also left us with nothing on offense in terms of offensive line.
Recruiting, he just stopped caring.
He stopped caring after week two, week three. Yeah. After the Alabama loss, he didn't care anymore. So, and then he knew he was gonna leave Florida State. He went to either Texas A&M or LSU, and they picked Orgeron and LSU. So he went to Texas A&M. So. I give it a little time. I'm a little worried about how Florida State's looking, but...
You planning on going to the Boise State game here in Jacksonville next year?
Yeah, I want to go. I want to go.
I think it's cool.
See Florida State in Jacksonville, I would want to see that. Like, no matter what, whoever they play, I want to see. But maybe the tickets will be cheap. We'll see. But I doubt it because it's Florida State.
So do you think Florida's going to be playing UCF in one of the bowl games?
I don't know. I don't know if UCF has a very, very slim shot. The latest bowl projection is UCF Florida. I don't know where they're playing, but it'll be
the mine and Key Carmel.
No, it's one of the New Year's Six. That's the first bowl that comes to your mind. No, it's one of the New Year's Six bowls.
Not the Konica Minolta Tax Slayer
Gator Bowl. No, but I mean UCF has a shot at the playoff. I think, in my opinion, they need Ohio State to lose to Northwestern this Saturday.
Go Wildcats.
They need Oklahoma to lose to Texas in the Big 12 title game.
I think Oklahoma gets this one.
And then they need who's the 16? No, who's the 4?
Georgia
to lose to Alabama, which is a very strong possibility.
Do you think if they play a close game, they both make it?
Who's they?
Georgia, Alabama.
No, like, Georgia loses, they're not making the playoffs.
42-41 or something like
Georgia's not making the playoffs, they lose.
Okay, well, okay, well, Georgia depends wins on, and they win by 3, like a last-minute field goal.
See, that's where it gets interesting. If Georgia wins, they're in.
Because they're clearly Alabama Notre Dame's and Georgia automatic, are a top 4 team.
Notre Dame's already in. Clemson, they win on Saturday, they're in.
That's 5
Clemson
teams.
Clemson plays, what, like Pitt or some garbage
they
team?
They play, I think, Pitt. I don't know the ACC representative is in the division.
It's just
but,
awful. Good old Miami not been able to take advantage of, you know, the division being so bad.
Well, that's just Mark Richt.
And I really hate my friend who just tweeted to me because I put on Twitter, one Colts-Jags ticket for sale, section 146, DM if interested. He messaged me, I'll give you $5 to $7 for it, implementing Florida State's record. Way to go, Ephraim. I understand that completely. So
the value is only really around 41 to 14.
There you go. Okay. But in my opinion...
Remember when we used to sing, it's great to be a 4-8er?
4-8er? Still applies. But what was I going to say? If Georgia wins and Alabama loses, that's a tough conversation because you know Clemson, if they win, they're in. Notre Dame is automatically in. They should not be out.
I don't like Notre Dame as much. I mean,
but they're going to be in. They're undefeated. They're not. Yeah. They're in, but they look good this year.
UCF last year, my.
No, they're good this year. They're good.
I'll give them benefit of the doubt there.
They're good this year. If Georgia wins,
wasn't good last year.
No, because they didn't play anyone. Notre Dame actually
played.
They played Auburn.
They beat Auburn.
Auburn didn't care.
Just like every ESPN analyst.
No, because they actually give them the attention I don't. If Georgia wins, Georgia's in. Now the question is, do you put a one-loss Alabama, one-loss Ohio State,
you have to.
One-loss Oklahoma?
It'd be Alabama.
Clemson's not undefeated, right?
Just because they are.
Uh-huh.
Stupid.
I would have to go with Alabama again. But the thing is, you cannot have Georgia-Alabama straight.
Yeah.
It could happen again. I would move Clemson to 1. Notre Dame, I don't know.
We might have to come back to that.
I don't know.
We'll talk about that maybe next week
if we have time next week, which we have
to
do.
It's championship weekend, so
we're running
at least
out of time.
No, Tuesday's the rank. No, Sunday will be the ranking. So
yeah.
Oh wait, we'll figure it out.
Around the corner, running out of time, but I wanted to make sure I get some local stuff in here. Some events going on around town. The Deck the Chairs. Have you guys heard of that? At Jack's Beach?
I guess so.
It's at Jack's Beach, right in the pavilion there, where they have a bunch of beach chairs. and they decorate them. A bunch of local businesses come out and they decorate the chairs, and they look really nice. I actually participated in it last year with the credit union. I put together like a Santa ATM kind of thing. It was really cute, but...
Do they go up for auction or what's...
No, it's really just like, kind of like you go out there and it's just like pretty Christmas lights and stuff like that. It's something nice to do it in the evening time. But that's up now and it'll be there till January 2nd. So you have plenty of time. But I thought I wanted to give them a quick little shout out because it's a nice event and they deserve to get some love. Also, on Saturday, December 1st... X1065, home of 71029. The Big Ticket, Weezer and Foster the People are going to be at, I think it's at Daly's Place, right? Yeah.
Isn't it usually like Daly's Place and surrounding areas?
Yeah, so...
It used to be Metro Park.
Yeah, it's hosted right in that area, but that's kind of interesting.
I don't really care to see either of them.
People go out to that kind of thing.
I don't like live music too often. It's just...
Not my scene either.
You're paying to hear him sing it worse. Like, I can sing a song for you if you want to hear me sing, like...
Ending, though, with JU and UNF. JU basketball plays on the 1st at Swisher against the South Carolina State Bulldogs. As we're recording, UNF is going to be playing FAMU at home. But, yeah, obviously you won't be able to attend that because this won't be coming out until the next day. But their next home game is going to be December 15th when they play Charleston Southern, the Buccaneers at UNF Arena. They have quite the schedule coming up. They played tonight against FAMU, and they go to Charleston Southern. So they get to go to Charleston, South Carolina. Then from there, they get like a week or about 10 days where they travel up to Minnesota and play the Golden Gophers.
Do they still play East Tennessee State? Or I thought that they might have made a conference change. I felt like
I didn't see that. Oh, you're talking about like in the division?
Yeah, because
no, ETSU is not there.
Yeah, they used to be in the A Sun.
Yeah. No, they moved up. No, but then like after
shout out to Minnesota. My Johnson City fam.
After they play Minnesota, they play FIU in Miami. Then they come home for Charleston Southern, and then they go to Tallahassee and play Florida State. And then go to Auburn and play Auburn. I mean, that's quite the out of conference.
I just saw them on SEC Network get crushed by the Gators.
Yeah.
What was it, like 96-60-something?
It was pretty bad.
Hey, guys, one note real quick. So I just looked this up. Guess how many sacks the Jags have right now?
For the season?
Allowed or?
No, defensive sacks.
8. 12.
Well, they have more than 8 and they have more than 12. Unique and Calais each have 6, if that helps.
There you go, that's 12. That's the whole team.
19.
21.
Oh, I was going to say that after 19.
I'm trying to see what ranking they are, but they're not.
That's not very high.
No. Speaking on JU athletics, as of right now, JU golf is practicing at Coastal Indoor Golf. They're using the facility, and they might make it their home practice facility, but it just kind of shows like how dependable Coastal is like when you come and improve your golf.
In like the 4 months that we haven't recorded, Coastal has just like exploded with all kinds of stuff. You guys have hosted a tournament that we did that Facebook Live video for.
We moved the simulator at the web.com championship, so we were involved in that. That's where FCA, Florida Fellowship of Christian Athletes, noticed us, and they had an event down in Orlando they wanted us to come to. So last week we went down to Orlando. That was a 21-hour work day because met up with my boss at 6 a.m., got down there, put up half the sim. Went to the reunion golf course to meet Ryan Golf, Coach Rusty, Golf New State, Wedge Wizard, Putter Ho, a couple famous Instagrammers, kind of. They were doing the Players' Cup, so we had a trackman there for a long drive tournament or contest at the end. Winner got a new F9 Speedback. Cobra F9 Speedback driver.
I would take it.
Sorry to cut you guys off, but I'm on Twitter right now. Lastly on the Jags. Top 5, according to Mel Kiper, big board. Bosa, defensive end. Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle. Devin White, linebacker. Josh Allen, outside linebacker, which is weird. And Greedy Williams, corner. Top 5 are defense. Not a good year to look for an offensive player. So.
Lovely.
Well, that means that we'll have more offensive players available for us.
God. We're like the 8th pick.
Yeah. After the long drive tournament or contest or whatever, we went back to the hotel we were setting up at. It was Grand Regency Hyatt Resort or something. Anyways, it was a fancy hotel. They had a macaw in the lobby. And we got that simulator set up for the FCA event. That started at 6. That went on till 10. We had Jay Feely was there. Ryan Longwell was there. Guy Boros. Fred Funk was there. Got interviewed by Chantel McCabe. On stage was pretty cool. So, I mean,
big name people there. So
yeah.
Coastal's getting into some big stuff. So, if you guys haven't checked them out yet, you need to go down there. What's the address?
1380 Beach Boulevard.
Boom. Beach Boulevard. Is it before Angie's or after Angie's?
It's after Angie's.
Right, it's right after Angie's.
It's Beach and Penman across from Dunkin' Donuts.
Depends on where you're coming from.
Well, there you go. Yeah, but if you're coming the normal way, not coming from the beach. How about that?
If you're going eastbound, it's past Angie's on the right. If you're coming westbound, it's prior to Angie's on the left.
There you go. Well, I was going to throw in, whatever, I'll do it anyway. Want to throw a shout out, rest in peace, Steven Hillenburg, creator of SpongeBob SquarePants, one of my all-time favorite shows. I just want to ask you guys, what is your favorite SpongeBob episode.
Halftime show.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, yeah, Squidward has to show up, Squillium, and they sing.
Still the best halftime show I've seen.
I like the SpongeBob movie.
The first one, correct? The
original? I'm a Goofy Goober.
Yeah.
And then I also like, you know, when he ripped his pants. Not necessarily, I didn't like. That was one of my favorite episodes.
Ripped Pants is a classic.
Great song to sing.
Good song in there, too, yeah. I mean, SpongeBob's always been known for having a good song. Greasy Spoon, Striped Sweater, the fun song. Yeah, there's some good SpongeBob song. But I got to go on a non-singing episode with Wet Painters when they have to paint Mr. Krabs' house.
That episode's stressful.
It is, but at the same time, it's got probably the most one-liners out of any episode.
It probably does.
Like you can do anything with that. There's the one where the Krusty Krab training video, classic. Poop, people order our patties.
Krusty Krab pizza Krusty Krab pizza.
Oh, that was
awesome. I could go on for a whole nother podcast and talk about SpongeBob episodes, but I won't. I'll spare you.
Stay tuned for Keith's new SpongeBob podcast called
SpongeBob Keith Pants.
No.
Actually, real talk here, stay tuned for Amanzi's Magic. I have failed you in keeping up with that as well.
Hey, but Magic looking good this year.
Yeah, so I just listened to a podcast that I never actually released. I recorded it, but I never actually put it up from last year, right around this time.
It's in the vault.
And it was kind of sad. It was right after we had got off to our hot start. I compared us to the Jaguars with their hot start, and then we lost 9 in a row. And
everyone right now, Magic are 10-12, and right now the number 8 seed in the East.
Yes,
a game and a half on the 9.
Quality losses too. We have not been the Magic team that we've been in the past.
They haven't lost to the Bulls yet. That's for sure.
You'll hear a lot more about this on my latest episode that hopefully I'll record either this weekend or early next week.
Well, we are on a road trip, which sucks, but
hey, man, going into Phoenix coming up next.
I've got the Magic.
Tomorrow or the 30th.
D'Lo destroy us up in Portland.
We end in Miami.
That's you guys ever watch Portlandia?
I have not.
It's a good show.
I've heard it is, but I feel like I'm so far behind.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better, the last two losses were a combined 9 points.
Yeah.
Between Golden State and Portland.
Yeah, and that Golden State game, that
we
was
blew a lead, though. We blew a lead.
It was literally just because Aaron Gordon got hurt. He was shutting them down. I've got to stop talking about the Magic. I'm sorry. I'm going to save that for my episode.
Man,
anyway, Mike, you can come over if you want to talk. But
sounds good to me. If I have time.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll hopefully get back in our rhythm and keep these churning out for you guys. It is only about 5 o'clock, but, you know, the sun's already going down. So we're
Travis going to blow.
I'm going to go ahead and let Mike leave here, and I'm gonna laugh at him. And yeah, you guys make sure, if you don't already, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook,
5 stars on iTunes,
5 stars on iTunes, follow all of our individual Twitter accounts. We
call your mothers.
Yeah, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Hit me up if you want Jags tickets.
Peace out, guys.